Welcome to the Compass Christian Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit us at compasslew.org.
All right. Good morning. What do you do when someone does something kind for you? Right? You say thank you. And it's Thanksgiving time. And, you know, this is a time of year where we focus on thankfulness. We focus on gratitude. And it's a time where we teach our kids about gratitude. We teach them about saying thank you. We model it for them. We teach them how it builds closer relationships with the people around them as they express gratitude. And so this is something that we've been taught as children to the point where, you know, it becomes pretty automatic. We say thank you when someone does something for us. That becomes a habit in our lives. But sometimes we forget. This morning, we're going to look at a record from the Gospels, and we're going to be thinking about what it means to be grateful, what it means to follow Jesus, and how we can build a deeper relationship with God, our Father. And so we'll get to the question a little bit. I know we already heard it in the overview, but we're going to start here in Luke 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem from Capernaum. So I have a map here from BereanInsights.org, and Jesus was about where that red arrow is. It's you can't really read it, but it says healing of the 10 lepers in that tiny little font. That's why I added the big red arrow. And so he is in between Galilee, where he spent much of his time in his early ministry, and Samaria, which is the home of the Samaritans, whom the Jews didn't like very much. And so they're likely traveling along the edge there, sort of kind of trying to go around a little bit and stay on the edge in Samaria on that curve. So that's where he likely is. And as he comes to a village and enters, he is met by a group of lepers. And they stay at a distance, which is, that's to be expected. They're outcasts from society. They are rejects, and they aren't supposed to come close to Jesus unless they make him unclean. So it's pretty expected that they're standing a ways away. And so this is a small community of estranged, outcast from society, separated by their maladies, namely leprosy. And that could be any variety of skin conditions, but gets grouped into leprosy. However, this group of people know who Jesus is, and they identify him as Master, as one who has authority. And they ask for mercy. They believe that Jesus could help them. And so they sought him out. So how does Jesus respond? Jesus, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. He responds with a command. So Jesus responds with something for them to do, an action for them to take. You know, I find it interesting. He doesn't actually say like, I'm going to heal you. He just says, go and show yourself to the priest. And I know it's implied that, you know, they'll get healed. He responds with something to do, but he doesn't state it. He just tells them to do something. And they listen. They obey. They trust his words and they take action. So they cried out for help. They got an answer and they obeyed. And they were all healed. All 10 of them were healed by obeying the Master. We could stop the story right here and it would be a pretty good story, right? All 10 of them are healed. Great job, guys. You asked. You had faith. You obeyed, you got healed. That's a fantastic story. That would be pretty great, right? And if this was the end of the record right here that we're looking at tonight, the sermon would have been a lot different. It would have been about faith and obedience. It would have been about asking and listening and responding to that, taking action. But it's not the end of the story. In fact, it's not even the point of the story. And of course, we haven't even gotten to our question yet. Luke 17, verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. One of the lepers notices that he was healed. So he was paying attention. And his response to noticing that he was healed, his response to noticing that God had answered his cry, by praising God, returning and falling on the ground at Jesus' feet and thanking him. This man's response to God's mercy in his life was to submit himself to Jesus and praise God with a heart of gratitude. And what better place to do that? What better place to praise God than at the feet of his son, the healer, the Messiah? Now, he was a Samaritan. So, if you are a first century Jew reading this, and you're probably following and nodding along with the story pretty well. You're like, yep, Jesus has healed a leper before. Yep, we're good. You know, he healed a Jewish leper before. You're like, oh, 10 lepers. He's just up in the ante here. You know, this is good. This is good. And because Jesus was in between Samaria or Galilee, you might have assumed that this was a group of Jewish lepers. And then you're listening or you're reading this line and you realize that it was not a Jew who returned. It was not a Jew. It was not one of you. It was not one of us that was the one who responded in a way that was appropriate. This man was an outsider, a foreigner. We won't go into it too much. We've talked about this in past sermons before, but the Jews and the Samaritans had a bit of tension between them. So this line, when you got to this point, it would have been attention-grabbing, and it should grab our attention as well as we read through this passage. The one to turn back was not someone who was inside their faith community. It was an outsider. This man was not only an outsider because of his leprosy, because of his ailments, he was an outsider because he was a Samaritan, a foreigner. And so finally, we get to our question. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And so this question's a bit sad, right? Like, God, through Jesus, the Messiah, had healed all 10 of the lepers, but only one. Only one, 10%. Like, that's not a good ratio there, right? Only one returned, a foreigner, an outsider, to give thanks to God and praise to God and thanks to Jesus. So where are the other 9? Where are all the others who had been healed? Well, they continued on with life. Maybe they didn't notice that they had been healed. Or maybe they did and just kept going on their way. They didn't go back to thank Jesus or to praise God. They forgot. Or they didn't care enough. We don't really know. Except one man who was a foreigner, who was an outsider, who was a Samaritan. And he, Jesus, said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So finally, Jesus addresses this man and tells him, "Your faith has made you well." Well, what does that mean? Because the man was already healed. He was healed when he listened the first time, when he went and he obeyed. His healing happened earlier from a physical perspective. And so this healing, this wellness, this wholeness was more than physical. It went deeper. It was spiritual. It was a mending of the relationship with God. It was a restoration from being on the outside. This outsider was no longer incomplete. He was no longer broken spiritually. That which was missing, the relationship to God, was restored through Jesus, his master and his Lord. And it had been repaired because of his gratitude. This outsider, this foreigner, understood something the other nine missed. He understood that there was a deeper relationship to be had with God when you don't take your blessing and head your merry way. Thankfulness and gratitude completed this man's healing. When we take a look at this record, we can see a pattern that the other nine were following as they sought to fix their problems, right? Like they had a really big problem and they went about this pattern. Right? They cried out to God in faith. In this case, through Jesus, right? They were asking Jesus, God's prophet and God's Messiah. Jesus, on behalf of God, responds with a commandment or an action to take. They obeyed and they received the blessing. So they asked, they listened, they listened and they heard the response. They obeyed the response and they received the blessing. And at first glance, that actually sounds pretty good, right? Like that sounds like that's not a bad thing. They got the blessing in the end, but they missed a very critical step. And that step is gratitude. And so this is what they should have done, right? They should have cried out in faith. They should have asked. They should have listened for the response, followed through and obeyed it, received the blessing, and then responded with gratitude. They should have responded in gratitude. And so what they were missing was the response to the receiving. They were missing the response to God actually delivering them. Except the one leper. So what can we take from this? What can we learn from this as we ponder this record and think about how we apply it in our lives? Well, this fifth step is really important for us to consider too if we want more than a surface level relationship with the God of creation. God still healed the other nine. There are still blessings to be had at that surface level relationship, right? They still acknowledged that Jesus was master. They just didn't go any deeper. Well, that's not where I want to stay. I don't want to be in acquaintance with God, my Father. I want to be his cherished child. I want God to feel about me the way I do when my children crawl in my lap in the morning and lean up against my chest and I hold them and I hug them and I'm filled with warmth and compassion for them. I want that type of relationship with God. I don't want my relationship with God to be a cold handshake every now and then, right? I think some of us have relationships like that where it's just, good to see you. I want something deeper, and that takes gratitude. It takes gratitude and it takes a building of that relationship. And so gratitude is important in any type of relationship. In my marriage, especially telling my wife thank you or expressing gratitude for things she does around the house, even if she does those things every single week, or they are, you know, expected. They are on her side of the chore list, right? Expressing gratitude makes her feel seen. It makes her feel appreciated and heard. And it strengthens that relationship. The same goes for me. When she says thank you to me for something that I did, even if it's expected of me, even if it's something routine, it strengthens our relationship. And the opposite is true as well. If I never thank my wife for anything she does, there's, you know, it's not like our relationship falls apart, but there's a little more tension there. The bonds weaken a little bit. And so expressing gratitude is really important in our marriages, and for a strong and for a sturdy and resilient relationship. And this goes for any type of relationship. In fact, in 2008, there was a study done on sorority sisters. And there was a period of time where they were giving each other gifts over about the course of a week. And so they tracked, when they were giving gifts between sisters, who expressed gratitude and who said thank you when they received something. And then they went back a week and then a month later to assess the quality of the relationships and the bonds built between the women. And what they found was that gratitude was a predictor for the strength and the depth of the relationship between these women. So when, you know, a gift was given, if one of the sisters said thank you or expressed any type of gratitude, the relationship between those two women was stronger than the others on average. And I think this is intuitive to us. I think we understand this. This makes sense to us. When someone is thankful toward us, it makes us feel good. It strengthens that bond. It builds, you know, good feelings between us, and you feel a stronger connection to that person. And so, you know, we should express thanks with each other, to our spouses, to our friends. We should express gratitude. We should notice and pay attention when someone does something and responds and does something kind for us. And we should thank them. This is nothing new. I'm not explaining anything that you all don't know. Like I said, we've done this since we were children. We've been taught this since we were kids. But sometimes we forget. And in particular, I think we forget this at times in our prayer lives with God. Often, we follow these four steps. When we need something, right? When a need comes up in our lives and we want something, we cry out to God in prayer. And then God responds. God comes with an answer through people, through the Spirit, some way of saying, like, I need you to go do something to get an answer to this prayer. Like, that happens very often. And then we actually obey. Like, if we're making it through these steps, these are all good things, right? If we get through all these steps when we pray. And then some time passes, or maybe immediately, our prayer is answered. And that's excellent. Hallelujah, right? We got the deliverance. And then we go on our way. Right? I know I do this from time to time. I know that I have forgotten things that I've prayed for that later on, you know, maybe days or weeks or months, the prayer is answered. I've most certainly prayed for things, taken action on them, listened, you know, got the deliverance, and then moved on. You know, especially for like smaller prayers, right? If you pray and you're like, oh, I have a headache. God, will you please help my headache go away? And it goes away, and then you're good, right? Yeah, we can say thank you. That should be the habit, right? It should be the habit, our habit to go back to God. When we stop at the four steps, right here, when we stop at these four steps, we treat God like he's a vending machine, right? We talked about that last week. John Ely mentioned that. And it's something I've heard a few times, right? We don't want to treat God like he's a vending machine. Do you say thank you to a vending machine?
Yeah.
No, you don't say thank you to a vending machine. That's absurd. That's silly. You don't have any type of personal relationship with a vending machine. Or at least you shouldn't. Just put that out there. And so we have a tendency at times, at least, you know, I'll speak for myself, to forget that critical fifth step in our prayer life. Sitting down in a quiet place, opening our heart to God in praise, in prayer, and thanking him for our answered prayers. Thanking him for the things that he has actually answered. Things that he has said, yeah, I did that for you. What percentage of your prayer life is is thanking God, is a prayer of gratitude, of pure gratitude. What percentage of your time spent in prayer is for thanking him for things that he's done, for thanking him for things in the past, for prayers that he has actually already answered? How often are you going back with gratitude in your prayer life? I know for me, prayers of pure gratitude, of praying for the past and for thanking God for things that he's done, are woefully underrepresented. But I'm trying to get better at that, trying to include more of that. And so I do think it's important that we go back after God has answered a prayer to praise and thank him. And I want to note that this is a little different than a prayer of thanksgiving as a request. And so I think that has a place in our prayer life too, but I just want to talk about that for a minute. So we do say thank you when we pray for things that are requests. An example of that is when Jesus thanked God for hearing him before he raised Lazarus from the dead. He thanked God for hearing him in the past and that he would hear him this time. And this type of prayer is described in Philippians 4, when we're told to let our requests with thanksgiving, to kind of be thankful for the past and extend that through into the future. But those type of prayers are requests. They're prayers where we're asking for things from God. And that's fine. We should be asking God for things. We should be letting him know our desires, right? Because many times these are our desires, and we should be aligning our will with his to understand how we can make our desire, you know, make his desire our desire and get to something that we want in our lives. And that's totally reasonable and acceptable to thank God for things that he hasn't done yet, as long as they're things God has said he was going to do or are part of his nature or that he's already accomplished through his son. But that type of prayer isn't what I'm talking about today. Because, you know, even if it's a request that starts with thank you, that's still a request. It's still something God hasn't done yet. And so I'm talking about a prayer of gratitude that looks back. I'm talking about a prayer that is in response to God's mercy in our lives. When he does come through and he answers that prayer and answers our requests. Because, you know, sometimes it is a big act of mercy, right? Like sometimes we're asking for things that we got ourselves into. You're like, I'd love for you to do this. I know that I got myself into this position, but, you know. But he does. God is rich in mercy. And many times, many, many times, he answers those prayers. And so we shouldn't forget to go back and to thank him. Throughout the scriptures, we see many examples of men and women who reflected on what God had done for them in the past with praise and thanks. And one person I think of often on this topic is David. David often praised the Lord with song. The Psalms are filled with examples of singing out to God for all the things he had done, for his great mercy and his great strength that he had bestowed on him. And this is one psalm I particularly like that I found looking at it. And at the start of Psalm 9, David says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." So here David is giving thanks to God and praise for the things that God had done, for the wonderful deeds that he did for Abraham, for Moses, for Israel, and especially for David himself. How many times had God pulled him out of a situation or was with him through a situation with Goliath, with Saul, with just all the issues he dealt with in his whole life, the lion and the bear, and, you know, like all the things from a child that he had gone through. He praised God and he remembered them and he recounted them. And so he's declaring that with a loud voice. Singing is generally pretty loud. I don't think David was too shy of a guy when he sang. Just like the Samaritan leper, though. he praised him with a loud voice. And so that's the kind of heart I want to have with Yahweh, my Father, and toward my Lord, Jesus. I want to praise him with a loud voice. So in my life, I'm working on adding a new kind of prayer, or being a little more deliberate about this type of prayer. And that is a prayer of reflection. A prayer of praise and joy, because I don't want to be one of the nine. I want to be like the Samaritan, giving thanks to God through my Lord's name, through the name of Jesus, right? That Samaritan got his blessing and praise and thanks and gratitude was through Jesus. I want a stronger relationship with God, a deeper connection with him, and that requires gratitude. It requires that critical fifth step when a prayer is answered. But what stops us? What stops us from doing that? Sometimes we forget. You know, I know that I, at times, will forget, right? If it's been weeks, if it's been months. Or maybe we might think it's silly or awkward to thank God. He knows our heart, right? He knows everything. I think, too, when we need something, there's a little more urgency to pray. There's a little more push behind, hey, oh, shoot, I should pray. I'm in trouble right now. But then the prayer gets answered, and you're not in trouble anymore. And the urgency's gone. When I was in college, I didn't call my parents too often. They would know. They're right here with me. But sometimes, you know, when, you know, like I ran out of food in my apartment, I'd be like, hey, Mom and Dad, how you guys doing? It's been a while. So you got any leftovers? Right, there was some urgency to me calling my parents. You know, and that's, you know, that is what it is. I was in college. You know, if you have a friend who only ever calls you when they need something, they're only ever reaching out when they need something, that's not a really great relationship, is it? You know, it's not a very fun friend to have. Every time it's like, hey, I need help moving. It's like, hey, you haven't talked to me in like 3 months. What do you mean? If that's all they ever do, right? And so we should be careful to not have that type of relationship with God. We should talk to him. We should open our heart to him. We should pray and thank him when we don't need things, right? And we should reach out when we do need things, for sure. But that shouldn't be the only time we talk to the Father. So how do we do this? Well, we should be diligent and we should be thoughtful. We should write our prayers down. It's a good way to not forget. Write your prayers down. If you have a prayer app or a journal or something like that, track it. And when you cross things off or swipe off, you know, something on your prayer app, like it was answered, tack on a small prayer of thanks. That's a good way to do it, right? Or if you're starting a period of prayer, you're going to sit down and pray for a little while, start by reflecting on the past first. Meditate on what God has done, on what he's doing right now, and then what you want him to do or what he's going to do. And so my encouragement today is to close the loop, so to speak, on our prayer lives. We should be asking ourselves these questions to think and to change. How often am I genuinely saying thank you when God answers my prayer and shows me mercy? And in what ways can I thank God more often? Because it's going to be different for each of us. The ways that help me remember to thank God are going to be different than the things that you can do to remember to thank God. So when God answers our prayers, thank him in private. Thank him out loud. Thank him in church. Praise God with a loud voice. And let's make it a habit to remember what God has done for us through his incredible kindness and mercy. Let's not forget and be like one of the nine, or not care and be like one of the nine. Let's be like the one, the outsider, who remembered who his Savior was. He remembered who his God was. Let's remember to say, thank you. Let's pray. Father, you are rich in mercy. And I don't think we can even begin to understand the depth of your goodness and patience toward us. We don't always do everything right, God. And you sent your Son so that we could still stand before you pure and clean and come before you each and every day. Thank you for what you did through Jesus Christ. This life would be a lot harder and a lot different if you hadn't accomplished that. Thank you for how you bring people together, God, to serve you, how you just work in situations to bring people like our community here at Compass, just all the small ways that you worked in individual people to come together for a purpose. It's incredible, God. And I thank you for that. Because with everything we go through in this life, with as hard as life may be at times, you've surrounded us with people to support us and strengthen us. Because without them, God, we would crumble and we would fall. So thank you for that. Thank you for this community. Thank you for these people here. And for all the good works you've done collectively in our lives. Thank you for your Son, and it's through his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Compass Christian Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. For more information on how we are striving to follow Jesus together here in Louisville, Kentucky, check out our website, compasslou.org, where you can subscribe to our newsletter and view additional resources.